Well, we have started a series on developing a passion for prayer. So if this is your first time here, or if you've missed a few of the other sermons, you can always go online. All of our sermons are online, so you can go and listen to those, catch up if you like. I do apologize for last week. Some of you were looking for the notes for last week, and they weren't on your app. Getting older, I thought I did it. For some reason, I didn't. I had everything set up, ready to go, but I got sidetracked, and before I knew it, I just totally forgot about it, and I was thinking everything was right to go. So your notes are on this week, and last week's notes are on your app as well, and so if you're not familiar with the app, you can actually download the app as well, and you'll have each week, you'll have the sermon notes on your app, so you can follow along with that as well. But they are on this week, I'm sure of that, so we'll be in part three, so there's two parts. If you haven't got a chance to listen to those, I encourage you to go back and have a listen to those. But we're developing a passion for prayer, and today we'll be looking at attributes of prayer, and we'll be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And so if you want to open up your Bibles there, you're welcome to do so, and you can follow along with us here this morning. But as always, if we're going to be preaching on prayer, then I think we need to open up our service on prayer. And so why don't we open up our service with prayer. Let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to communicate with you. Lord, you've created us with the ability to communicate with our Creator. And so, Lord, we're so grateful for that, because now we can have that personal relationship with you as we talk with you and we commune with you, and we can hear from you as well. And so, Lord, I'm grateful for that, but as we've mentioned before, prayer is probably one of the greatest untapped resources among Christians today. And so, Lord, I pray that we take advantage of that and we utilize that, and we look forward and we long to have that time with you, Lord. And so, Lord, as we open up the Scriptures once again today, help us to see the truths that are there in the Scriptures so that we can know better how to communicate with you, Lord, and we're grateful for that. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Have you ever done an audit of your prayer life? Go through and maybe think about how you pray about things and how you relate to God, and what is it that oftentimes is at the forefront of your mind when you go and you spend time with the Lord. If you are a journal person who likes to journal your notes and take notes down as you pray, this may be a little bit easier for you, because you can kind of go back and see about how, you know, the things that you prayed for, what were the things on your mind, and how you communicated with God and you talked with God during that time. And actually, you can go back and even look at some of the maybe answered prayers that you have received. And that's always a blessing to sort of go back and see how God has answered your prayers. And so that might be something that you may want to consider, is maybe just take some time, even if you're not normally a journalist, you want to take some time, but maybe just go ahead and write out your prayers over the next maybe week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and just to see what your prayer life actually looks like. And then come back about 3 weeks later and go back and have another look at it, just to sort of see how you communicate with your God. But I encourage you to do that. But we all have times in our lives when we are tired and we're just wanting to sort of rush through our prayers and just crawl in bed. You know, a number of you have been sick as well. And so, you know, sometimes it's maybe hard to pray during that time. Or if you've got some major things going on in your life, or some conflict or trials or tribulations you're going through, oftentimes they may be the focus of your prayers, and you forget about other things that maybe you could be praying for as well. Or maybe you're just tired, worn out. And so sometimes you know, we may be thinking about things we want, things that we desire. Some of you may be thinking about that truck, and as you peek over to your next-door neighbors, you see that 4x4 over there, and you're wanting it and you're desiring it, and so that becomes part of your prayer life as well. Don't judge me. But it may not necessarily be a truck. It could be a car, a house, a business, or a son or daughter, a ministry, a job, a life, whatever. You fill in the blank. But if we're not careful, those things can consume our thoughts and make their way into our prayers. The church of Thessalonica, they were going through a time of tribulation. And despite that, they were holding fast to their faith. In fact, Paul says that he boasted about them to other churches because of their endurance. And then he reminds them that the judgment is coming for those who trouble them, that God will one day deal with them. God will one day take vengeance upon them, and he will they will get what they deserve from God on that day of judgment. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, that he tells us. But they themselves, they believe the message and the testimony of the gospel. And of course, they will be glorified on that day. So Paul reminds them of their future while they're enduring this present persecution that they're going through. And so he offers up a prayer for them. But before we dive into Paul's prayer here this morning, let's talk about prayer in general for just a moment. There's a lot of those who have gone and done research over prayer and what it looks like and the lives of individuals. And we talk about prayer petitions, offering up our prayers to the Lord. And reviewing the content, which is requested most often, research has showed that most prayers are often misdirected, short-sighted, and/or selfish. We typically pray for health and happiness and success. We pray for personal comfort. We pray for solutions to different remedies and things that we have with physical problems of life, such as maybe healing or a place to live or a job or a car or a husband, a wife, or children, promotion, more money, you know, whatever it may be. And as important as those things are, they are low on the priority list when it comes to prayer. Not saying that they're not important and we shouldn't pray for those things, but they're sort of a bit low on the priority list. Jesus said that we're not to be anxious about what we eat and what we drink and what we wear, because we know that God supplies all of them. He supplies what we need. There's never been a time in my life where I've gone hungry, as you can probably tell. I've never gone hungry. I agree with the psalmist in Psalm 37:25. It says, I have been young, and now I am old. Well, not that part, but the next part. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Now, that's not to say that I haven't scraped the bottom of the barrel a few times in my life to keep me humble. But God has provided everything that I needed. And if I'm being honest with you here this morning, He's provided everything I need and then some. And I'm grateful for that. And I thank the Lord for that. So our priority must be the things of God here. We live in a world that knows little about what is truly valuable. People all around us are pursuing things that are not of lasting value. I mean, you have these young kids that'll go and take the lives of another person just, what, over $50? This is the world we live in. People's priorities are messed up. And when it comes to death, whenever death comes knocking, that's when they truly start to understand what the important things in life are. But then it's too late. So this is something that we need to consider when we pray, to ensure that we are praying for the right things. If it's important enough that we should be considering it on our deathbed, then maybe it should be a part of our prayer life as well. These are specific issues that we ought to focus on, that should be a part of our prayer life, or at least included in our prayer life. And Paul expands upon this and discusses what's important in the life of a Christian, especially ones that are enduring persecution. His prayers are for the saints, and they are focused on his spiritual concerns. And I want to focus our attention here this morning on just one of his prayers in particular, as we look at Paul's prayer in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Notice Paul's prayer. It says, "Therefore, we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul often focuses his prayer on the issues that would relate to the spiritual benefit of the saints. He had three wishes here for the Thessalonians. He said that I pray for your worthiness, your fulfillment, and your power. Now notice here that they were going through persecution, but he doesn't say anything about that you would be relieved from your persecution or that your persecution would disappear. Notice he doesn't say that. He says, I pray for your worthiness, your fulfillment, and power. Before we can look at those three requests and their implications, let's first understand what where our resources come from. When we look at resources and we talk about our resources in our spiritual lives, James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. You see, Paul was talking about God's desire. He's presenting God's desires to them. Most of what Paul's desires for the saints, he knew that they could only obtain by prayer. He did not turn to human ingenuity or some program. He turned to God. So Paul was a faithful shepherd who taught God's people whenever and wherever he could the importance of obeying God's commands. But that in and of itself wasn't enough. He had to turn to God, who alone could prompt that obedience in the hearts of the people. Paul knew that God desired to sanctify his people, and that was his desire as well. Therefore, he prayed for the things that God wanted to accomplish in his people. Paul understood God's desire for his people, and he presented that to his churches. But also, we see God's desire for others as well. If you want to pray for others, don't just pray for their physical needs. Make it a priority to pray for their important spiritual issues as well in their lives, as well as those issues of greatest concern to them as well. I believe that as a church, we do a wonderful job praying for others regarding the physical needs. We have a ladies' WhatsApp page and a men's WhatsApp page, and oftentimes some people will get on there and they will put some prayer requests on there, and it's almost instantly, oftentimes, we have people write back and say, hey, you know, we're praying for you. Hey, we're lifting you up in prayer. We're praying for you right now. And that's such an encouragement to me to see that our church are behind other people that are hurting, and then they go behind there and then they're praying for them behind the scenes. And it's wonderful, and I ask you to please continue to do that. And if you want to be part of those WhatsApp, let me know, and we'll get you the information that you need to be a part of that as well. But let me encourage you, don't just pray for their physical ailments, but also pray for their spiritual welfare as well. Our physical ailments can keep us out of church and Bible study oftentimes, and we miss out on a time of spiritual growth. And so pray that God will strengthen not only their bodies, but also their hearts and mind as well. His ultimate purpose is to conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. So the little tests and trials in our lives are important only insofar as they reveal our greater spiritual needs. God is most concerned about our response and our attitude towards events that occur in our life. And will you continue to follow Him despite the trials and tribulations that you may be facing? Are you going to allow that to drive you closer to Him, or is that going to push you away from Him? But also we see God's desire for Himself as well. Any mature Christian's prayer is a permanent state of mind by which the promises and purpose of God, the spiritual well-being of His people, and the growth of His church are passionately desired. What concerns the Lord most must concern us as well if we truly want to glorify Him with our lives. And that is the whole purpose that we were created. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." You see, we were created for His glory. We were created for His honor. That's the whole reason why He has created us. It is God's desire that His creation bring honor and glory to Him, to be glorified in His saints, and to be admired among all those who believe. And so now we see the request. Back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "Therefore, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of His calling, fulfilled all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power." So first of all, we see a critical request here. Persecution is taking place among the Thessalonian believers. And so Paul, in this prayer, he prays for the Thessalonians, and he addresses three vital and dynamic spiritual issues that are crucial to all believers. He talks about worthiness. Worthiness refers to the spiritual character. It should be our desire that the Lord would make us the kind of people we ought to be. When we stand before Him, we want to be rewarded for walking worthy of our calling. He talks about fulfillment. Fulfillment speaks of God bringing out in our lives the holy and longingness that of the things that He would have us do. And power. Power is necessary for our service to be truly effective in our Christian walk. When those issues are priorities of our prayer and patterns for obedience, then God will be honored in that. And so let's break this down even a little bit further. He talked about being counted worthy. Paul's first request is that God will count you worthy of your calling. It is a calling that Paul describes in Romans. In Romans chapter 8, verse 30, it says, "Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called, and whom He called, He also justified, and Him whom He also justified, these He also glorified." It is a calling that we are to walk worthy in as well. According to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. The word walk there, it relates to your conduct, how you live your life. You are to walk worthy of your calling. It's your way of life. Believers have been called to salvation, to bear the name of Christ and become identified as God's people. So He prays for us to be worthy of bearing Christ's name. Think about that. He prays for us to be worthy of bearing Christ's name. You and I have an immeasurable privilege and responsibility to bear the name of Jesus Christ in a worthy manner. Let me ask you here this morning, are you a Christian today? Are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there ever been a time in your life when you have prayed and you have asked to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you a Christian today? If not, then please come see me after the service, and I would love the opportunity to share with you how you can come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you can secure your place in heaven even today. I'd love the opportunity to talk with you about that. But if you are a Christian, are you living up to that name? Are you living up to that name? Is it so evident in your life that others around you can see that you are a Christian? If we were to go and have a court here this morning, and we were to put you up here in the witness stand, would there be enough evidence against you in order to prove that you are guilty of being a Christian here this morning? Think about your life. Or are you one of those private Christians? You're happy to keep your Christianity to yourself. You don't want to ruffle any feathers. I sometimes refer to people like that as closet Christians. Are you a closet Christian? In our world today, we got people coming out of the closet that shouldn't be, while we got Christians moving into the closet when they should be letting their light shine for Jesus. Are you worthy to be called a Christian? Are you living up to that name? Oftentimes that worthiness is demonstrated when you face persecution. Remember, as Christians, we are to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We represent Him before others. As an ambassador goes to another country that is not his home to represent the wishes of the king or the leadership of his home country. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior here this morning, this world is not your home. It's not your home. We're just passing through. And yet oftentimes, if we look at our lives, we live as if this is our home. And we are living a life that is if we're going to stay here. But this is not our home. We're just passing through. But while we are here on earth, we represent our King who is seated at the right hand of God. Let me ask you, are you walking worthy of your calling here this morning? And let me make something clear. Christians do not live worthily in order to obtain salvation, but because they have been granted salvation. We don't work for our salvation. The work on the cross is done. We don't work for our salvation, but we do work because of our salvation, to show others what Christ has done in our life. If we, this church, and the Christian people who are sitting within these walls, live the lives that we ought to, and manifest the power of the gospel as we might, there would be many out there that would say they have been with Jesus. It'll be evident in our lives. They have been with Jesus. And the Jesus that has made them the way they are must be mighty and He must be great. Listen, the best evidence of the power of the gospel is your consistent lives. But also he prayed for complete fulfillment as well. Paul's second request was for God to fulfill every desire for goodness. The Greek word fulfill here means to fill out, to render full, to complete, to make perfect, or to accomplish an end. So Paul is asking God to accomplish in our lives every desire that is good by God's definition. We want to be complete so that others can see God's goodness in us. In Psalm 21 verse 2 it says, "You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips, Selah. For you meet him with the blessing of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head." Will God give you everything your heart desires? Well, he will, as long as your desire is in him and your desires are his desires. We as David can have the same confidence in God that when our agenda matches up with His, we can come to Him and we can ask anything in His name. Those that come and assume things on God and they pray for things that are not God's desires, listen, we don't want God to answer those prayers because it may be those very things that may pull us out of His will. But there are those that assume God is reluctant to make anyone happy, that He receives some kind of satisfaction by leaving people permanently in misery in order to remind them that He is stringent, that He is demanding, and that He is in charge. But that's not at all true. God wants to give you the desires of your hearts as long as your desires are inconsistent and are in line with His desires. God is generous. He is gracious. He longs to give His children what they desire only when those are righteous desires and those things that we desire. But also, he asks for continual power. Paul's third request for God is to fulfill the work of faith with power. The Thessalonian believers were already involved with the work of faith. Their faith was real because it produced fruit. And this is the reason why Paul used them as an example to other churches that they are to follow suit, because they were faithfully enduring the persecution they were experiencing. But Paul wanted them to see them enlarge their faith. So he prayed for their faith to be more powerful. Paul prayed for the Ephesians the same way. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." We walk in our calling And then we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we hope that this is a Christian reality in our lives. Now, we not too long ago, we did a series on the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the Christian. And so I won't go back through all of that here this morning. But the power of God is realized in us when we allow God's Holy Spirit to work in and through us and allow God's Word to dominate our lives. But it's not just for the Thessalonians and the Ephesians. Notice what he says to the Colossians as well in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. When you pray for what you pray for in regards to your spouse, in regards to your children or your friends or your loved ones, it shouldn't be limited to the temporal things of this life. Instead, ask God to make their work of faith powerful, fulfill their longing for the goodness of God, and also to cause their lives to be worthy to bear the name of Jesus Christ. Why do we do that? Well, he gives us the reason here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 12, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we see the Christian's goal here, so that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in you and you in Him. Look, it goes both ways. That is the ultimate reason why we do anything in our Christian life. If that isn't our ultimate goal, then we are focused too much on ourselves. We pray for each other to be worthy of the calling of Christ because Christ's reputation is at stake here. We glorify God, and in doing so, we ourselves are glorified in Him. But let me offer you a caution here. Let me offer you a caution. One of the primary excuses people give for rejecting Christianity is hypocrisy in the Christians that they have met. Sometimes it's Christians that are the greatest stumbling block among believers. And it's quite often in the news as well. They like to focus on those who call themselves Christians, but their lifestyle doesn't match up. And I find it interesting that those that are calling these people into question, if you go and actually look at their lifestyle doesn't even come close, but yet because you're a Christian, they expect better of you than they do of themselves. And they should. We're Christians. We are to represent Jesus Christ. But people are quick to point that out. The past couple of weeks, I've seen several negative news reports concerning the Christian faith. They find someone doing the wrong thing, and then they go and connect their supposedly Christian faith to that. The news is making a big to-do right now about one of the largest churches in Australia and the cover-up of past sins. And one man was interviewed, and he said that he would no longer believe that God exists because of the cover-up. But then he goes and proceeds to share with the news person and the TV audience how ungodly this church was. Now, if I were interviewing this person, I would ask the question, how do you know what ungodly is if you don't believe that God exists? Now, for sure, what this church did was ungodly. But we can't go around blaming God for the actions of others. What you need to do is you need to look at the actions of God if you want to bring Him in repute here. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, he says, you want to look at my life. You want to see what I've done? Can you go and you look at the handiwork of God? You go and look at my handiwork. Look at all creation here, and you will discover that you are without excuse. You want to believe God exists? All you got to do is look outside and you can see the evidence of it all around you. It's here. But it's also a reminder when we see these news events and things going on, it's a reminder that we as Christians need to be careful of our reputation because we're not just representing ourselves, we're representing our God. The last thing we want to do as a church and as individuals is misrepresent God. I wouldn't want anyone to stand before the great white throne judgment and point their finger at me or point this finger at this church for the reason why they chose not to follow God. We should be living as Christ's representatives. And usually when Christians are called on this issue, I've heard some of them, you know, sort of give a lame response like, you know, well, we're not all perfect. We're not all perfect. Nobody's perfect. But if we need to be careful not to justify our wicked behavior instead of rectifying it. Repent and restore your testimony before God and others. Paul desires that his prayer that we will bring honor to the name of Christ and that we will lead unbelievers to Him as a result of that. This is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I hope you'll begin to give priority to the important spiritual matters, especially when praying for yourself and others. It's not going to be easy since our tendency is to focus on the temporal things. However, placing spiritual concerns first is a sacrifice that's well worth making. When it comes to prayer, don't shortchange yourself or the ones that you're praying for. Pray with purpose. Pray with passion. We have a tendency to pray for those temporal things in life, but let's not stop there. Let's pray for the more important things as Paul taught in his prayers. Let us pray for our worthiness and our fulfillment and our power as we live out our faith in Jesus Christ and we serve Him together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for all that You have done for us. Lord, we are so blessed. And if nothing else, You have provided salvation for us. And Lord, that is one of the greatest things that You could ever do for us. And so, Lord, for that we're grateful. And so, Lord, that gives us an opportunity to go out into our world and show how grateful we are as we go and share Jesus Christ with others so they too can experience the wonderful gift of salvation that we have. And so, Lord, I pray that we would here this morning walk worthy of our calling. Help us to understand that here this morning, the importance of that. We can't just go and live our life any way we want to. We can't just go and live the life of sin that we maybe did in the past, Lord. Help us to remember that we are representing You here this morning. Help us to walk worthy of our calling. Help us to walk in fulfillment of all the good things that You would have us to do so that others can look at our lives and they can see You in our lives, Lord. And we can direct them to You. But also, Lord, we can't do it without the power of the Spirit in our lives. In the world we're living in, Lord, we're going to get hit on all sides. And so, Lord, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to come and to help us and to empower us to do what it is You've called us to do. And we thank You for that, Lord. And we ask all in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.